I see the camera. I'm sure that Randy's here to film me. Maybe not. But I was smart enough to know that I needed to go first so you wouldn't leave after the kids did their program, you know. So they're going to be here in just about 20 minutes. You can hold me to that. Every year at Christmas, we're overwhelmed with Christmas songs and Christmas carols and Christmas plays. How many times have we heard this expression, and will we hear this expression? Now, that's what Christmas is all about. It's being with family and having great dinners. That's what Christmas is all about. It's serving the poor and reaching out to those who are disenfranchised. That's what Christmas is all about. It's decorating trees and hanging off your roof and dangerously trying to put up Christmas lights. That's what Christmas is all about. But my favorite was Jay Leno's headlines, in which it says, an advertisement for the Center of Dental Implants that states, "The gift of chewing is what the holidays are all about." Now, you know, I believe chewing's pretty important, but I don't think that we decorate trees and spend a small fortune on gifts so we can chew, as wonderful as that is. What is the reason for Christmas? We all know it. It's the birth of Jesus. Jesus is what Christmas is all about. Have you ever wondered why God orchestrated this event in the way he did? We're starting a new series today, Living the Christmas Life. And Living the Christmas Life is trying to discover from some classic characters of the Christmas story what it means to us to follow Christ. The story begins in a very unexpected way. If the President Trump were coming to Monroe City, which would be kind of unusual, but if he were, there would be all kinds of preparations, right? You know, there'd be security checks, and there'd be no-fly zones, and all kinds of amazing things would take place to make sure everything is safe. But when Jesus comes in the most unexpected place, a very unexciting place, he comes and there's no fanfare, there's no special security, there's not even a place for him to live, to lay his head. But the story actually begins before that. It begins with a young Jewish girl, the name of Mary, and Mary is getting ready to be married. She's all excited. She's probably trying to pick out her wedding dress, and she's planning where they're going to have the venue and how it's going to be and the ceremony itself and her husband that's going to be her new husband. And then it begins. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born. The Holy One born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be unable to conceive and is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So the Christmas story begins with Mary's story, and we find that God is calling her to a very special assignment, a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-history assignment. But I would submit to you this morning that God is calling each of us to our once-in-a-lifetime assignment, his special calling on each of our lives. He has a specific plan for each of us. Just as He had this specific plan for Mary, He has a specific plan for us. A Christmas kind of living is a life that truly matters. It's allowing God to change our world one heart at a time, beginning with you, beginning with me. So what does this Christmas life look like? It looks like a life of courage. The angel said to Mary, "You're highly favored. The Lord is with you." That's pretty cool, right? Wouldn't you like to have an angel come to you and say, hey, you're highly favored. The Lord's with you. You're highly favored. And isn't it kind of interesting that Mary's response, and Mary's no different than us, she kind of knows, He's buttering me up. He's going to ask me to do something. Isn't that how you feel? You know, when they say, you know, you're really good with kids. You're a really good teacher. And you know what's coming. And so you're already planning your speech. Well, I'm really busy right now. Let me pray about that for a few years, you know, but before I answer. Just think about it. Mary is told by the angel, no less than an angel, you're highly favored by God. And then notice her response. It's kind of unusual. Mary was greatly troubled at His words. Somehow Mary knows God's up to something, and when God's up to something, it's going to be something big in her life. Something that would require faith and courage and obedience. She knows that when God chooses people, there's a cost involved, and it troubled her. Remember that line from Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof? "I know we are your chosen people, but once in a while, couldn't you choose someone else?" That's how we feel sometimes, isn't it? Most of us say to God, that's a nice assignment. I'm really flattered. But couldn't you find someone else? Anyone else? Somebody else that's breathing that would take on this difficult assignment? Let me be honest with you this morning. Following Jesus is not for sissies. When God calls you, He does not call you to a convenient life. He does not necessarily call you to a safe life. He calls you to a challenging life that's sometimes difficult. It's sometimes costly, but that's what it means to live the Christmas life. The first thing that you need if you're going to live the Christmas life is courage, because there will be challenges along the way. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays His prayer for His disciples. He says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one." Well, sometimes we'd say, "Lord, just take me out. You know, let's just go and be with you. I don't really want to stay here. It's going to be hard." Following Jesus demands courage. And following Jesus also provides His protection and His guidance over our lives. Notice Mary is troubled by the angel's words. And He says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." Do you know how many times the Bible says, "Fear not, do not be afraid"? Well, if you watch Facing the Giants, you would say 365 times. But that's actually every word that has fear in it. Actually, the phrase "do not fear" appears 70 times in the NIV version and 60 times in the King James version. That's still a lot of times that God says to us, "Do not fear." What's there to fear? Well, for many Christians today, it's fear of your life. If you're in Iran today and you're a follower of Christ, that's dangerous stuff. If you're in China today and you're a follower of Christ, that's dangerous stuff. For most of us, it's other kinds of fears. It's a fear of embarrassment. It's a fear of humiliation. It's a fear of criticism. It's a fear of missing out on something really cool. It's a fear that perhaps we might fail. The list could go on and on. People who desire to live a great life for God will always face fears. So often, we long for God to say to us again, do not be afraid. To live the Christmas life is always a choice. It's a choice between a mediocre life of fear or a great and challenging and exciting life based on courage. Some of you are thinking, well, you know, fear is an emotion. I can't help that. I can't do anything about it. And then we make the mistake of thinking courage is also an emotion. No, courage is not an emotion. Courage is a choice that you make. You can be courageous regardless of how you may be feeling at the moment. Like the philosopher, the great philosopher John Wayne once said, courage is feeling afraid and saddling up anyway. You know, sometimes you just got to do that. I have two great friends, Dave and Marty Spiro. And they never spend Christmas at home with their families opening presents. Instead, they spend Christmas for the last 20 years in some of the most dangerous places in the world. Places like Iraq and Afghanistan and Burma. They have smuggled rice and Bibles into places where they could be killed. They have done dental clinics and medical clinics in places where it is so dangerous to be. And yet they choose to go again every single year. Usually go more than once a year. They have great careers. He's a dentist and she's a translator. They could just send money. They could make great, huge sacrificial gifts. But instead, they choose to go themselves. That's exactly what Mary does. When the angel tells her that she will have a child before she and Joseph are married, she certainly was afraid, and she had reason to be, afraid of what people may say, afraid that she might be killed because that was a crime punishable by death for a girl to be pregnant before she was married, afraid of what Joseph would assume, afraid of the shame that she would bring to her child, the shame that she would bring to her family. She could have given in to those fears and done nothing. Instead, Mary chooses courage. What dream does God have for your life that requires courage? What are you afraid of? Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. The Christmas life is a life of courage. It's also a life of faith. The Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means that each of us will be called to take steps when we're not quite sure what the next step will be. We have nothing to rely on but God's presence and God's power and God's promise in our lives. Our faith is based on God's word and on our past experience of God's faithfulness to us. That's all we have, and that's all we need. The angel told Mary that she would become pregnant, and she asked a very realistic question. How's that possible, since I'm a virgin? And he tells her that they'll be born through the Holy Spirit, perhaps to reinforce her faith as, you know, trying to explain that to her. She goes, remember Elizabeth, your relative, the one that's too old to have babies? Well, guess what? She's in her 6th month. She's pregnant. And then shares this statement that is an important statement for all of us. All things are possible with God. I read this statement many years ago. It's become an important faith moment in my life. God specializes in impossible situations. Jesus reinforces this principle in Mark chapter 10. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. He says it again in Mark 9. Everything is possible for one who believes. The Christmas life is a life of miracles, a life in which you see the impossible happen right in front of your eyes. As I was writing these words, I was reminded of David, who used to sit on the back row of the church every Sunday. He was a soldier who spent two tours in Afghanistan. He had post-traumatic stress syndrome. He didn't like anybody sitting behind him. He was very nervous. He came to our church because he read in our webpage that we were from Kentucky, and he was from Kentucky, so he came. And it was interesting to watch God work in his life. And over the next 4 years, as God began to transform his heart and begin to heal his soul and his mind, he now sits on the second row, both hands raised during songs, happily married, taking mission trips himself, living for God. I thought about three couples that had impossible marriages. They were on their way to divorce. Somehow God transformed their lives. I thought about two guys that I knew in a couple of churches I served, both in their mid to late 70s, never went to church. Wanted nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with God. And I watched them come to Christ late, late in life and watch God begin to transform their hearts in miraculous ways. I thought about the church I served in Clearwater. When we built a new building and interest rates were 14% and we were out of money and it looked like we weren't going to make it. And some people stepped forward and loaned money out of their own pockets to pay the mortgage. And today that church runs over 700 people every Sunday. When the angel tells Mary she will see impossible things take place in her life, what's her response? May your word to me be fulfilled. What Mary's saying is, amen. I believe it. I'll do it. Mary had no idea what was next. She had no idea how Joseph, her parents, her friends would respond. She had a pretty good idea about the worst case scenario of what was going to happen. She might find herself alone or dead. All she knew is the angel of the Lord had said to her, and she had said yes. Sometimes all we know is our study of the Word, the witness of others, and God's faithfulness in our life. And based on those things, we have no idea how it's going to work out. It seems impossible, but we choose to trust and obey and to say yes. The Christmas life is based on the principle that nothing is impossible with God, and we get there by faith. According to your faith, let it be done to you. Faith is the bridge between an ordinary life and a miraculous life. It really is. Just as we sometimes mistake courage for emotion, we sometimes mistake faith for emotion. Faith is not something you feel. Faith is something that you do. It's something you choose to act on. Martin Luther King once said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the rest of the stairway." By faith, you take the next right step. Another way of talking about the life of faith is the word obedience. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. That's because faith is not a feeling. It's an action. So how do we live by faith? This week I got a text message from my friend Dave. And he was saying, "Steve, you realize it was 20 years ago that you asked me to lead a missions trip to Honduras. 20 years ago. And I said no. I said no once. I said no twice. The third time I said, okay, I'll do it. I went with the worst attitude in the world. I had no idea how God was going to transform my life and Marty's life in a way that I didn't dream possible. And now, 20 years later, there are countless people around the world whose lives have been changed and transformed because you asked and because we said yes. It's by faith that we tap into God's incredible power. God called Mary to live an incredible life, and she demonstrated it by her faith. Notice Mary doesn't just say okay. Her words reflect a life of surrender. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." These are the same words that we sometimes sing from Isaiah. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after your will, while I'm waiting, yielded and still. Christmas life is a life of surrender. Mary was somewhere between the ages of 13 and 16 when she made this decision. You say, well, you can't marry that young. Well, they got married early because people only lived to be 40 to 45 years old. You were an old man at 45, you know. And so, because people died early, they married early. And Mary would watch her son grow up and see her little baby ridiculed and scorned, and she would see him die on a cross. That was a tremendous burden that was placed on her. But she did not bear that burden alone. God's reassurance and comfort was with her the whole way as she surrendered her life to God. There are things in our lives that are simply too big for you and I to carry. And God's call on us is not a small call. It's something that's bigger than you and I could possibly do in our own strength and our own wisdom. It's impossible. It's daring. It's miraculous. There are things that are too big for us to do. But when we surrender to His will, He comes alongside us and does for us what we could never do by ourselves. Dave Spiro, the dentist, had no idea that he would become Dave Spiro, the evangelist, in places all over the world. Living the Christmas life doesn't always make sense, but it's always incredible. During this Christmas season, you'll probably hear some people ringing a kettlebell, or if you come to church here, you'll hear it rung out here as we're trying to get volunteers to ring the bell. Do you know why the Salvation Army exists today? About 150 years ago, a man named William Booth said this: "From the day that I got the poor of London on my heart and caught a vision of what Jesus could do with them, I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was." William Booth began Salvation Army. And today it touches literally millions of lives around the world. Have you decided that God deserves all of you? All that you have? When you say yes, that's living the Christmas life. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning as we gather in this place,